your choice. Everybody knows Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram. Is it loud enough for everybody to hear? Hare Krishna. That's loud enough for everybody, okay. Can everybody hear back there? I mean, you can put it a little distance from me so I don't get feedback. Let's go. For this one, you gotta clap. Thank you. All right, so what song should we sing now? How about the prayers of the Lord Yeshivinade? Just gotta be careful knowing steps on that thing. You can actually put it to the side, closer to the wall. Because if someone steps on it, that's a $200 device over there. Or you can hold it. Yitai Gaur Adi Shram. How about the prayers to Lord Shingadev? Okay, everyone loves those.
Thank you.
could do this a little. Just listen to how we chant this. And then follow along. This is not as fast a song as
Yeah.
song. Anyone have a request? What?
Nidai Gaur Radhe
Shyam.
Do
you have a song book here? I need a song book for those folks.
Song, just a song.
You need a song book, because I don't know all the words in the song. I don't know what song they want. How about a simple song that everybody knows about, like the words? Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna. This is a song written by George Harrison, not by one of the Acharyas. This is actually a very popular song in the 1960s. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. So what should we do now? Questions and answers, or about Krishna consciousness? Does anyone have any questions? Any topics you'd like to hear about? I guess my arm is all right today.
What do you think about when you're chanting, when you're doing the kingdom?
Krishna, give me more energy. I think in a rendering service, I'm thinking of rendering service to the holy name and rendering service to the Vaishnavas by chanting. There's definitely no false ego there. So, because that's really the point of Krishna consciousness. I was going to speak about something tomorrow in class about this, but many times we have this concept that Krishna consciousness is about me, but it's actually about Krishna. And of course, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, it is about me, not about me. But Krishna says, Chatur Veda Bhajanti Mam. That means it's about me, you know, about all of you. Because people come to Krishna consciousness for a variety of purposes, because they're looking for wealth. I haven't found that in Krishna consciousness yet, but I had to give that up. But we had our own airplane and boats, and I don't have my own airplane anymore. I don't have any boats. I don't want a boat. Actually, I'm going to Orlando this week to visit the temple, and they said, we'll take you for a boat ride for 5 hours. And I said, Tom, please don't do that. Because we used to live on a boat. I mean, it's like torture, being trapped on a boat for 5 hours. Anyway, the people have this romantic conception. In the material world, everyone has this big romantic conception of things. It's like in Orlando, there's also a place called Disney World. And you have this romantic conception, but what you end up doing is standing online for 90% of the time in the hot sun. And paying for it, too. So anyway, in the beginning, Chaturvedha Bhajanti Mam. People want wealth, people are inquisitive, people are looking for knowledge, or people are in distress, and it is about the individual at that point. And then later on, the selfishness becomes not so bad. Then you're thinking, I want to go back to Godhead. I want mukti. We're going to talk about this in class, because there was a class about this morning about going back to Godhead. And people wondering, when am I going back to Godhead? And of course, that the general motivation for someone wanting to go back to Godhead is to get out of this material world, which is Dukalyam Ashashvatam, right? It's a place of misery. And it definitely is. I mean, it's really, you can't believe what happens in this world. I mean, if you read the news, it's just amazing. In news or on an individual basis, Dukali Mashashvatam, you know, Janma Mitchu Jarav Yadi Dukal, Dukal Bhushana Darshana. So anyway, so that's, I want to go back to Godhead to get out of the material world. That's mukti. And then if you get a little more advanced, I want to go back to Godhead so I can eat the fruits from the desire trees. You know, desire trees are something like, yeah, desire trees. Like, it's something like getting anything you want, any flavor ice cream, just like Baskin Robbins ice cream. So many different flavors. You can get pizza from the desire tree. You get pecors. Whatever your national taste is, you can get Loki, Corella. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, it's like the Indian store on steroids here. You understand what I mean? So that's further advancement. You know, the Surrey cows, and it's just, you know, just really nice there. So that's also, I would say it's not actually pure devotional service to actually desire to go back to God, although we do encourage it. Like Prabhupada encourages that, we should want to go back to God, because people need to be encouraged or motivated according to their degree of advancement. And then the highest state is Mama Jamani Jamani Shreva Vata Bhakti Haita Kitwaye, where one doesn't aspire for any of the muktis or liberations, you know, the five types of liberation. I think some of you have heard about this before. That one type is sarupya. That's interesting liberation, where you get a form like that of the Lord. That doesn't mean you look like the Lord, but your body is Satchitananda. That's sarupya. Wouldn't it be nice to have a Satchitananda body? Ashnavi ram, no veins, none of this stuff. Anyway, no glasses, no virus. No job. You know, anyway, that's just such a no whatever. No problems. So anyway, so then you think of such another. So that's a sarupya, and then there's sarshti, having the same opulences as that of the Lord, which is kind of nice. Doesn't mean you become God, but it means you have the opulences of such a kalpa, you know, whatever you want, you get. Wow, that's pretty cool. It's like, any of you heard of Aladdin's lamp before? No. It's like a story in the West where you rub a lamp, a genie comes out, and he gives you whatever you want, and then he kills you. But anyway, that's another part of the story. So having the opulences of the Lord, you know, jewelry and everything like that, pretty cool. Is it? You know, having all sorts of jewelry. It's just like, oh, you ladies, you like jewelry, right? I was asking one of the ladies yesterday, why do you have jewelry and why do you decorate yourself and paint your nails and everything like that? And I said, the men are not attracted to that stuff. And she said, it's because I want to look cool. You know, because it attracts their friends. It's actually more of friends. I want to look cool for my friends. Because the men couldn't care less whether the ladies had painted toenails. So, it's kind of funny, you know, people. So anyway, so I've heard sarupya, sarasti, samipya. It means associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and which is very similar to Salokya. A Salokya means living on the same planet as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is my class for tomorrow morning, so I'm getting
a preview.
Because, you know, there's some discussion about, you know, when am I going back to Godhead and things like that, and I was thinking about this morning. And then, of course, there's the other type of mukti that a devotee doesn't even accept, which is Sayujya Mukti, which is merging into the existence of the Lord, you know, going into the Brahma-Jyoti. You don't actually merge, but it seems like you're merging like a green bird going into a green tree, right? So I was thinking about that that's not really pure devotional service. I mean, it's good. It's a nice desire. It's not a bad desire. But, you know, I was thinking about Rupa Goswami's verse in the Nectar Instruction, a Nectar Devotion, sorry, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Yabhi Vashita Shindhu, Yabhi Kamina, Anu Kul Yena Krishna Nishinwana, Bhakti Uttamam. That pure devotional service is actually just being ready to do whatever Krishna wants, and as Lord Chaitanya says in the final chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, that if Maya and happiness gives Krishna happiness, then that's what I want. That's pure devotional service, which is really, that's love. And the interesting thing is, that's the prerequisite also for going back to Godhead. So it's a catch-22. That if you actually want to go back to Godhead to get out of the material world, to get liberated, you can't. But you have to give up your desire to go back to Godhead and just want to please Krishna and do what Krishna wants to go back to Godhead. How do you do that? I was actually thinking about that. That's like a catch-22. If you want to go, you can't go. And if you don't want to go, you can go. It's not that you don't want to go. It's just you don't ask for it. That's a different thing. So therefore, I was thinking that's where, like, Srila Prabhupada comes into the picture. That if one actually just thinks of oneself as a servant, it's a sense of self-identification. We all have these concepts of ourselves, you know, who we are. And usually the concept we have is what we call an upadhi. You know, upadhi means like a designation, like there's a name. I'm the President of the United States. Some people really want that upadhi. It's hard to imagine why. Or I'm temple president. I'm not saying that people here want. Or I am whatever I am Marma Sanyasi, or I'm a whatever. So Hrishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. So that verse actually says the same thing. That I'm simply meant to serve, instead of all these different upadhis, I'm simply meant to serve the senses of the Lord. Hrishikena Rishikesha, Krishna's the proprietor of the senses. Bhakti Ruchate. And that's actually bhakti, that's love. And that's also the only thing that satisfies the self. So if one is satisfied, then one can be anywhere. Which is really interesting. Narayana Paraksave Nakatusjana Vidite Swarkalavarga Narakeshu Abhituyarta Darshana. So I was thinking about that verse. Narayana Paraksave, the topmost devotee of Narayana, Krishna. He doesn't see a difference between Swarga, heavenly planets, Upavarga, liberation, or even Narakeshu, hell. Abhituliyartha darshana. He sees them all equally. Darshana means to see. Of equal value, actually, really. Abhituliyartha darshana. He sees them equal value because he's satisfied. Bhakti mukti siddhikam sakalaya shanta krishna bhakti nishkam. There's that word nishkam again. Atayva shanta. And one's really peaceful and satisfied. Another verse is Tushyanti Ramanti Cha, isn't it? Everybody knows that verse. Machita Mankata Pana, Hodiyantas Cha, Parasparam Kapiyantas Cha, Amdichyan Tushyanti Cha, Ramanti Cha. He's tushti, he's satisfied, and also Ramanti. He's enjoying. Savaipam Sampara Dharma Yato Bhakti Arhotsuje, Ahoitaki Pratiyata Yatma Supersedati. So he's actually. That's the only thing that really satisfies one, that loving relationship. And then one can tolerate anything or be anywhere, and it's all the same. It's all the same because one's engaged in that loving exchange with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Anyway, that was my realization of the day. So, but in the meantime, yes, you should all want to go back to Godhead. Because we need to have some impetus. You know, and I think we have to be all honest about our situation in devotional service and say, we can't think, oh, I have no material desires, I just want to please the lotus feet of the Lord. I think in many cases we'd be dishonest if we said such a thing like that. I have no desire. Oh, you're a pure devotee? Yes. that's called hubris. There's a technical word, which means the pride that goes before the fall. So we should just like be humble. Yes, I want to go back to Godhead. Yes, I want to be in the spiritual world. Yes, I want to be a devotee like that. And then whatever enthuses you, booked. Was that Akama Sarvakama Moksha Kama Dharati? to bring about Yogena Yajeta Purushampara. When you're full of material desires, free material desires, or desires of liberation, just worship Krishna with enthusiasm and be honest about your own position. And that's another point, that we should actually be honest about our own situation in devotional service and not try to emulate. Was that Anusara Anukara? We don't want to imitate or emulate the pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. Or even, I was even thinking, we don't want to imitate Queen Kunti when she prays for more difficulties. I'd be scared, isn't it? That's one prayer I don't even want to recite. Tatra tatra jagat guru, right? Apunar bhava darshanam. It's a scary prayer. You know, please let these miseries happen again and again so that I will never forget you or never lose your darshan. Like that. So, anyway, so we have to have appropriate prayers for our own advancement in devotional service. So, that's the realization. So any questions or comments? Maybe? Yes? Yes. Yes, the relationship with the spiritual master is eternal, the Diksha Guru and Diksha Guru too. And we all have this is another interesting question that involves the Ritvik philosophy. You all heard of the Ritvik. Sounds like a frog. We hear them all the time in the Loka. Anyway, so the Ritvik philosophy is basically that after Prabhupada left, that basically there's no initiating gurus. Prabhupada continues to initiate, and that's kind of silly. It's not actually shastric, you know, because the guru has to say. And they do in marriage. I do. I accept the disciple, you know. Because I've had some experiences, even amongst our ISKCON gurus, when I recommend someone for initiation, sometimes the guru says no. Isn't it? So that, because the guru is a person, you're taking away the personal aspect of the guru, isn't it? Don't give him the opportunity to say no. This is kind of interesting. So, alright, so getting back to the point about the guru eternal. So, the guru identifies himself as a servant of his guru. The bona fide guru always initiates on behalf of his guru and the disciple succession. So sometimes people say, well, that's a Ritvik conception. Well, no, that's the bona fide guru conception, because you never initiate on behalf of yourself. Or you never think the disciples belong to me. So basically, the Ritvik people don't have it all wrong, because everybody's initiating on behalf of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is initiating on behalf of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they're all initiating on behalf of all the disciplic succession, and then be initiating on behalf of Balaram, the original spiritual master. And Prabhupada said we have an ISKCON in the spiritual world. Now the question arises, this is an interesting question. Who is the one who saves you? Was it the Diksha Guru or the Siksha Guru or Prabhupada? Who's it? And that question is based upon basically shraddha, or faith, that some people have the closest relationship with their Siksha Guru, with Prabhupada, and the Diksha Guru helps connect them to Prabhupada, and other people have a closer relationship with the Diksha Guru than Prabhupada, and they connect, and some people have a closer relationship with one of their Diksha Guru's godbrothers. So this is a dynamic. See, spiritual life is actually a very dynamic thing. And we often, especially in the GBC, we try to pass a rule that you have to this person has to be, you know, Prabhupada has to be your primary or first link. And that may be in certain people's cases, even though they're initiated by one of Prabhupada's disciples. But that you cannot legislate faith, you cannot legislate relationship. So just like with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his primary link in the disciplic succession was Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, not his initiating guru, Vipini Bihari Goswami, although he respected his initiating guru. So it's a question of the heart, you know, because we're all connected to Prabhupada and disciplic succession like that. And we have an eternal relationship with all these devotees, not just the Diksha Guru, not just the Diksha Guru, but, you know, basically with all of our friends, like Prabhupada said, at ISKCON in the spiritual world. So these relationships are eternal. I mean, I wouldn't want to leave you all.
Yeah.
That would be sad, wouldn't it? Say goodbye, this is right. Never see you again, you know, it's too bad. Haribol, hasta la vista. That'd be really sad. You know, okay, so, you know, I'm 72 years old, so you figure in a few years I'll never see any of you again. That's actually a really sad thought to have, isn't it? You know, amongst people I know, people I'm friendly with, you know, just like at the end of this month, September, one of my old godbrothers is coming to visit me.
Who?
Jai Jagadish.
Oh, really?
He is coming to North Carolina to visit me.
Wow.
So, unless I have an eternal relationship with him, it would be sad if I can't see him again ever, eternity. Now, material relationships are like that. They're described, even the Mayavadis talk about that, as like pieces of seaweed that float together for some time. And sometimes they stay together for a few births, like the man becomes his dog, the dog becomes the master, you know. This is quite common. They keep switching roles. Or the husband becomes the wife, the wife becomes the husband, gets even. But spiritually, it's not like that. Material relationships, yes. But spiritual relationships, we are together. We have eternal relationships, and we help each other in devotional service. And it's just, you know, it's a very sweet thing. You know, I wouldn't want to be with people who I'll never see again eternally. That's depressing, isn't it? Then you'll never see any of you again. Phew. I want to see that you've been right in the spiritual world. I mean, someone has to distribute the books. Can you imagine? Can't be legislated. You know, some people connect directly to Prabhupada, and of course they still initiated by their guru, and their guru is still their initiating guru. And some people, like, you know, it's something you can't really tell people. It doesn't work. It's like telling someone to love someone, but it has to come from the person themselves. So, any other questions? Yes,
Maharaj, so still in the spiritual world, do we need books?
That's an interesting question. Of course not. Of course not, because we have iPads there and iPhones.
Yeah.
job.
Reading finished. I don't like books.
There was
no reading. Just kirtan. And seeing devotees. This is good enough for me. I cannot
go radio books.
Try hard.
I think we need to have a talk after this. I think Addition or I am for whom myself need to sit down with you for a
I need that. Until I go to spiritual world,
yeah.
No books, but until then I need this.
Yeah, you need a book.
It needs
now.
To be resolved.
Good. I'm relieved to hear that. We need books, don't we? Or we can hear narrations, someone reading Prabhupada's books. I mean, there's different. Krishna Katha is so important. And I've just been appreciating, like, at night before I go to sleep, whenever I'm not in complete anxiety, I pick up Prabhupada's Krishna book, and I read it. And there's sweetness, even though I've read the Krishna book maybe 100 times before. When I was a brahmachari, we used to sit and drink our milk prasadam at night and read Krishna book to each other. And just reading about Krishna's pastimes is always new realizations from Prabhupada's books. It's just a very special thing to read Krishna book. I mean, sometimes we like to get into more sophisticated philosophy and things like that, but to me it doesn't have the same sweetness as just like hearing Prabhupada's books and Krishna book. And there's a really special nectar to it. Because if Prabhupada hadn't presented Krishna book to us, we wouldn't know about Krishna. Because Prabhupada, I mean, we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We wouldn't know about anything he did. Because Prabhupada, you know, he translated, well, he got up to the 10th canto, the beginning of the 10th canto. But the beginning days of the movement, when I joined, we just had Bhagavad Gita. We just had an abridged version of Bhagavad Gita, and that was it. And then later on, Nectar Devotion, Teachers of Lord Chaitanya came out. But you really didn't know about Krishna's pastimes until we got Krishna book. So Prabhupada understood that. Prabhupada understood that he had very little time to stay in this world. And therefore he gave us Krishna book so we would have those pastimes. And Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we would have Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So, yeah, with Shushru, Shradaranasha, Vasudeva Katha, Ruchi, Shama, Mahasevya, Vipra, Punya, Tirtana, Shevana. By hearing about Krishna, that is service, that is seva. So, yeah, but in the spiritual world, no books. I guarantee.
I do love to hear.
The Krishna book is actually on, you can hear, actually, it's very sweet, because, you know, you hear Prabhupada's voice, the original dictations, that Prabhupada did for Krishna book, they're online and you can hear Prabhupada dictating it, and it's very, very sweet.
And there's readings too. Amala Bhakta did a reading of Krishna book. I have all of Prabhupada's books, most of them as narrations. And then every night we're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita class, so that's really nice. Anyway, I just enjoy reading Prabhupada's books. I mean, for me, complex philosophy, you know, that's another thing. But I like the simplicity and the purity of Prabhupada's books.
I think Prabhupada had the right mix in the sense that he didn't over-philosophize, and he gave what we needed. And I see when devotees sometimes try to get too philosophical, that's when you run into, like, errors in your judgment.
Yeah. I'd probably call it overly intelligent. You know, overly intelligent. You know, it's like Lord Chaitanya came across that devotee who was reading the Bhagavad Gita, but he was completely illiterate and mispronouncing everything, probably couldn't even read it. But because he was following the order of the spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya considered him to be the real knower of the Bhagavad Gita. So that, you know, Krishna consciousness is very simple for the simple people. It's very simple. You chant the holy name, you serve the spiritual master, you distribute books, you give people Krishna Katha, and you take Prashadam, and to me that's Krishna consciousness. I don't want to make it any more complex. I mean, I enjoy complex philosophy at the proper time, but really the real nectar is in the real simple Krishna conscious Katha. Any other questions before you all take Prashadam?
You mentioned earlier that not to have upadis, not to get stuck with upadis.
Not to have what?
Not to get stuck with upadis.
Upadis, yeah.
But if how do you have a structure? Because that kind of gives you a structure, a framework to work. Like,
yeah.
If you have a goal, you get there by thinking how you get there. But if you have a very illusionary, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Vaishnava, I'm not a Kshatriya,
yeah.
I'm not. So if you focus on that, then it's not, there is no framework to work with it.
No, it's like your job. Like, I know I'm not a sannyasi, this is my job. I'm doing this for Prabhupada, I'm acting like a sannyasi for Prabhupada. So it's my service. It's my save. It's not my identity. You have to separate your service from your identity. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, this is my service. Like someone who's married, their service is being a husband or a father or something like that. But it's not their identity. So it requires some thoughtfulness to actually separate the two. Because if you identify with the external aspects of your service, then you're actually going to come into the upadis right there. Like you think, I am temple president, or I am a sannyasi. But what you tell me, you say, I'm not a sannyasi. Kopi Bhaktivat Kamadasa Dasa Amadasa. But yes, I'm acting like this because this is what Prabhupada wants me to do right now. All the world's a stage and everybody's an actor. But this, we're acting in this particular role because to serve Prabhupada. It's out of bhakti I'm doing this. And that is connected. That's it. So it's not really an upadhi at that particular point. It's a role that you're playing for service. That's all. It's like the clothes. You put on these clothes out of service, but you're not the clothes. It's the same thing. But if you identify with the clothes, then that's kind of stupid. So yes, we have to be aware of the role. The roles we play, yes, or else society is completely haywire. Like Arjuna had to be aware of his role as a Kshatriya, obviously. He had to be aware of his role as one of the Pandavas. He had to be aware of his role, all these different roles that he had to fulfill, but out of service to Krishna. Isn't it? Whatever you do, yat karosi, yat shnasi, yat jaloshi, tadasi, yat pasashi, kantiya, tat kurushva, madarpana. Whatever you do, whatever you offer, should be done as an offering to Krishna. So I'm doing this as an offering to Krishna. But this is not me. I'm not this body, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a man. Of course, if you tell a psychologist that, probably put you away for a long time. Of course, nowadays it's probably politically correct. Like when I was going for an appointment with the doctor, it says, what are you, a man or a woman? I had about 20 choices. Or not identification with any gender. That was one of the choices, yeah. Not to identify with any gender. So, modern world is catching up with Krishna consciousness in an indirect way. So, Gopi Bharata Padakamala Dasa Dasa Amadasa, I'm a servant to a servant of the Lord. And Krishna's having me sit here, speak, and that's the service I'm doing. That's all. So, we should end so that we can take Prashadam. Because you all been waiting. I'm sorry I was late, but GDC meetings. And you're always late for me. So. I've been to so many programs where I come and I wait an hour for everyone to show up.
Gopinath Acharya Prabhu did a wonderful job. He didn't tell the time, so people, even the IST, but at least they will be not late for you. So that was a good thing.
Good.
So everybody came on time.
Then the help come on time, closer to on time. He said 11.
He said 11 because he wanted them here at 11:30.
He did not say very specific that what time Maharaj will be there.
That's good. So, but then after a while, people start compensating. They'll say, well, he's always going to say an hour ahead of time, so we're on time. So it's not going to work long term like that. Okay, so thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Ajay Govind and Kirtan Mahal's 24th marriage anniversary.
What's that?
Ajay Govind. 24th marriage anniversary.
24th marriage anniversary. Wow. He must have gotten married when you were 10 years old or something. I mean, your hair is still black and... Ten years old. 24. Okay. Congratulations. Okay. Is that it? What's that? Okay.
So Hare Krishna.